We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's your True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle 1, Chelsea 0, Newcastle are third. I'm Alex, Charlotte, Sai and Kyle. Sit with me in our Newcastle office and we are absolutely fucking buzzing. Third in the league. We're going to be third in the league at Christmas. The Premier League has broken after a couple of games today for a winter break that no one wanted, but it's here and Newcastle are the third best team in the country and one of the form teams in domestic European football in terms of the top leagues. I can't believe I'm saying these things. We sit here in this podcast and say the exact same thing every single week and I still can't believe it. That's how transformative this season has been in the last 12 months have been for Newcastle United. Charlie, you were at the match. The place was absolutely bouncing, wasn't it?
It was just unbelievable. It had a very similar feeling to that Arsenal home game at the end of last season where we just were totally up for it. At that point, we were safe, but we knew we were going to put our all into it. We could really crush Arsenal's dreams as well, so everybody was up for that. There was obviously remembrance moment, so war flags had done a big poppy display. I was underneath that, so couldn't see it, but understand from pictures it looked great. And then you know, sometimes that sort of moment silence can dampen the mood. It definitely did not last night. Like, I guess it's a 5:30 kickoff as well, and everybody's been out all day or all afternoon, and they were just, the crowd was just so up for it yesterday, and so was the team. It was just loud and amazing and fun.
Straight to me. You're looking at me, Alex. Echo all of that. It was a fantastic, fantastic occasion. A 5:30 kickoff at home to a rival in Chelsea. You know, it's nice to be able to say that, but it was, you know, the crowd had that feel. It was like, we're up against these because we're playing against these for a Champions League spot. Everyone was mortal. The stadium was just absolutely bouncing, singing nonstop, screaming. You can hear my voice. I've not sounded like this the morning after a football match for a long time because it was just the next level of singing, screaming, berating that referee, which I'm sure we'll come on to. But it adds to the kind of electricity in the air if there's a ref to get angry at as well, I think. So just the whole thing was unbelievable. And then, just the party atmosphere around the stadium after the match as well was just incredible. Before, after, during, like, it just, the whole day was incredible. Every pub was bouncing from about midday to midnight, just... What a night for the city, and I'm so gutted that it's over for a month and a half.
Yeah, I can echo that as well. To be fair, I'm gutted. It's gutted. We've got a World Cup now, because usually the Christmas period's so busy with football and stuff, with club football that is. But to try and sum it up, it's just like we're third in the league. We're third. Like, this time last year, I think we're in the bottom three, and it's like we'd only won one game all season. In fact, I don't even think we'd won at this point.
No, we hadn't. Mid-December.
A year on and we're third in the league and people are talking about we're for Champions League, and it's just like, I kind of comprehend how amazing it is to be able to be a part of it in the stands, seeing the players fight for it on the pitch, even the cells on the side of the pitch just shouting at Coachella to stop them taking a throw in. Just little details like that really show off the unity of this football team at the minute, and it just seems like I know if you look player for player with our supposed rivals yesterday, Chelsea, first team for first team, they probably have a more expensive squad and probably in terms of individual better squad, but you wouldn't have been able to say that yesterday. It was just Chelsea came out to get a point, and that seems to be a common theme at St James's Park. People are really petrified to come here, and it's a really good feel. And I don't think a team's had this kind of feel since Leicester won the league. And it's like, that's a hard juggernaut to stop. And I just feel like this international breaks came at the worst time, because I don't want it to end.
Absolutely incredible scenes that Chelsea came and performed the way they did. £200 million plus spent in the summer. You know, the talent on that bench alone, and they came to Newcastle United. And I think respect is not strong enough for word, that it was deferential. Like, they came to Newcastle absolutely desperate for a 0-0 draw. 0-0, let's make it the worst game of football we've seen since Wednesday against Palace, who also did the same. It was just a sensational. And it, like, you know, the points speak for themselves. You know, Newcastle, 30 points from 15 games, goal difference of 18. Unheard of for Newcastle United. Again, some more raw statistics for you all. Newcastle are currently, before teams play today, it's just Manchester United play today, but they're currently 7 points clear of Manchester United with a plus 19 goal difference. That's better than Man United. That's absolutely mental. So that's 7 points ahead of fifth place. In terms of being ahead of Chelsea, 9 points clear of Chelsea. Chelsea also have a zero goal difference, or a plus 18 better than Chelsea. These are absurd numbers for this football club, and we're going to get into it later on about the game and the players and the manager and all this kind of thing. But Newcastle dominated Chelsea, particularly at 0-0 yesterday. There was only one team going to score. It was like playing a Bournemouth or a Crystal Palace or someone like that. In the end, the possession stats were quite even, but Newcastle dominated possession for large parts, particularly at 0-0. Newcastle twice the number of shots as Chelsea, more corners, more shots on target. More fouls as well, but that's because the referee was just, you know, on one. Kieran Trippier once again absolutely hitting the heights. Maybe we'll talk about him later, but just, yeah, echoing what you guys have said there, what a day, what an atmosphere. So I'm so pleased you brought up the point about post-match, the city. Me and Charlotte go and record in our office. We did a small YouTube video, so check that out if you like what we do. And you come out of where we are near Central Station, and Charlotte, you still couldn't get on the metro, like,
yeah,
more than an hour after the game had finished.
There were videos on social media of like outside St. James's Metro, there was like a little mini rave started up. Somebody had speakers and like people just weren't going home. They didn't want to leave the vicinity of St. James's Park. They were just underneath it at the metro station having a party. Like, we haven't won the league. We didn't just beat Chelsea. We smashed Chelsea, right? And we're third. But like, I love how much people are enjoying this and letting themselves enjoy it. It doesn't feel like it's going to be ripped out from under you. It's starting to feel like this is a firm foundation and people are having fun. It's great.
It is great. And it's such a shame that we've been stopped in our tracks. But also, you know, let's see how that actually impacts the season. Newcastle have got less players at the World Cup than everyone else. Back to yesterday, though, back to the atmosphere. I just thought, you know, we recorded the Matchday podcast for patrons. We're on Patreon, which is from £3 a month. To hear lots more of these podcasts and also get these podcasts ad-free. I record the Matchday podcast where we pick up the noise of the crowd as the game goes on, and I was sat there editing it late last night and just, you know, again, goosebumps at the noise. The E-I-E-I-E-O, it's like it's become a bit of an anthem now for us, and it's also factually accurate because we are going to get into Europe and Eddie is our king. We'll leave it there then for part one of the show. Again, aforementioned Patreon, if you don't want to send this pod with ads, come and get involved. There are 3 tiers, £3, £5, and £8 a month, and would love to have you on board. Come and join the 800 plus who help keep this podcast going. Back after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Kyle, Joe Willock yesterday, what a goal. You wanted to talk about him. I'll let you take it away, mate.
I mean, a couple of weeks ago, he was saying he needed to add more goals to his game. And you just look at it from top to bottom, and he's really worked hard on that. And you can see from the goal yesterday, one absolute rocket, by the way. His overall performance as well, breaking through the channels, having too much energy for the opposition midfield. Like, I know N'Golo Kanté didn't play for Chelsea yesterday, but you'd think we had him in the form of Joe Willock. He was absolutely outstanding. And it's good to see Joe Willock back at his best. And I know it's a different position as well, because you said before the podcast started, Alex, that he was put on the left-hand side in the second half, and what a difference it made. That might be a position for Joe Willock in the future, playing on the flank. Because you look at his pace, his athleticism, his ability to interchange with Joe Linton in the midfield as well. It's just a staggering performance. I think when he went off, he practically hobbled off with how much he gave in the game. Like, he gave absolutely everything, and like, it's good to see him back at his best, because like, obviously he's had a couple of performances where he's played well off the ball but not really done much on the ball. And it's like, it's good to see Joe Willock back on social media. Come on, you Maggies, and all that. It's because when Joe Willock plays well, Newcastle tend to play well too. So yeah, I'm buzzing for it, and I'm buzzing for him as well. And probably his forms came a little bit too late again in the England squad, but if he keeps playing like that, he'll definitely get into the Euros in a couple of years' time for sure.
Get him on the plane, Gareth. I'd change it. Change the squad.
Madison got injured yesterday.
Madison got injured.
Yeah. Get Willock on.
The thing about the break, even though we don't really want it, is to Kyle's point there, is that, you know, some of our players are hobbling off. It probably is a good... We play with such intensity. Most of them aren't going to the World Cup. This is a really good time for them to rest and get back to full strength.
To be fair, I think Howe and Tindall have said, like, "Howe, lads, this is our last game. You put it all in here." And that definitely happened right to the final whistle, like you say. Even to the point of having a bit of a scrap with the Chelsea players after the whistle's gone. Like, they just put absolutely everything into it, knowing that they've got 6 weeks off. So it was a proper, what, you shouldn't leave anything left on the pitch. And I think we got that from every single one of those players. No more so than Joe Willock, of course.
And you know, I want to talk about, again, the goal. It's just the perfect kind of goal for me. It's, you know, it was top corner. The keeper dives, but he could have just sat down. Like, he was never getting there in a million. He was a good goalkeeper, Mendy, as well. Like, he's never getting there. It's so fast. The cameraman almost, like, struggles to keep up with the ball. Such is the veracity of the shot. And the fact that it kind of comes from nowhere, Charlotte, we were talking before, weren't you? Like, I love that Joe Linton, he's just hooked the ball. He's like, Miggy will be there. He'll be all right. I don't need to really direct it. It's as long as it goes over the top, Miggy will get there, which he does. He comes inside. He could have gone down, and Miggy likes to go down. Let's not beat about the bush. Miggy likes to go down sometimes when he shouldn't. And he doesn't. He keeps going, and you know, it's the stuff dreams are made of. And this is where it works with Roald, a house inverted players, because Willock's playing on the left, so he cuts in, and it's on his stronger foot to kind of guide it, but also smash it. It's like a placed shot that's also smashed with unbelievable speed. And it was a great moment at St James's Park. It was just absolutely class. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And like you say, Kyle, it is beneficial that both Joe Linton and Willock can interchange during a game. I'm much more leaning towards we need Joe Linton in midfield. We just lose too much when he's not there. When he's further up the pitch, like maybe he was most of the first half yesterday, we're losing too much from behind, and I would play Willock there. I mean, ASM has to come back in. Bit of a surprise not to see him yesterday, maybe a sign of the times. He now has a full 5-6 weeks to get properly match fit. But yeah, just unbelievable. While we're here, Kyle, you want to talk about Kieran Trippier, who was once again one of the highest rated players in the Premier League yesterday, according to Who Scored.
I think it might be a controversial statement, but I think Kieran Trippier is probably one of the most important signings in Newcastle's history. He's just been phenomenal. Like he's came in and he's set the standard for this club. Like whenever he plays, there's a calmness. Like, I remember him being injured at the back end of last season, and there was like a little bit of panic defensively. But when he plays, it's just there's just a calmness. He leads by example through his performances. He's always telling players what they need to be doing. Like he's just the perfect right back. And I don't even know why there's a debate for right back for England, because at the end of the like Kieran Trippier is so well rounded, and he's doing his due diligence at the top of the field as well, creating chances and stuff like that as well. For me, Kieran Trippier is a shoo-in, definitely, to start every game for England at the World Cup. But he's just been phenomenal for Newcastle. Ever since he signed in January, it just everything changed when he signed. And yeah, I think he's played, what, 5 or 6 Man of the Match performances this season? Mm. And like, it's not even Christmas. Like, I've never known a player to play with such consistency at such a high level. Like, I knew we were signing a good player in Kieran Trippier, but didn't realise that good. And what we paid, what, 12 million for him? Mm. People can call Newcastle the money club, but 12 million for Kieran Trippier, when he's playing like that, is nothing short of unbelievable business by Newcastle. And for someone who's captaining the side on the field and his performances, it's just for £12 million, what we've managed to get for that is staggering.
It's astonishing to me. Sorry, were you gonna?
No,
sorry. Just being overly polite. but like skill aside, because he's clearly an unbelievably skilled footballer and we've got years left of it. Like you'd never expect it. I think he's 32. You'd never expect to say of a 32-year-old, wow, we've got 2 or 3 more great years out of this player. It's the leadership for me. Like it's this incredible like spirit that I feel like is an Eddie Howe thing, and it's a Newcastle thing. But he's just like he's perfect for it. He's the perfect conduit. The team rallies around him. You see how they talk to each other on social media. How they react to each other's sort of you know, shortcomings, maybe like at the Palace game. He just embodies that total leadership. It's not to sound like I've got like tears in my eyes, but it's really inspiring. I find him really inspiring.
I would go one further and just say that entire back four and Nick Pope all have those qualities, and they were just, like Chelsea just did not have a clue what to do about that defense. We're so organized, we're so clever, we're so smart. They're all such good individual footballers, but they understand where to be. Positionally, they're all absolutely immaculate. I mean, Chelsea's only chance, and it was a good chance, and Nick Pope's had to make one very good save, but it came from us dicking around at the back and Bruno getting dispossessed. It wasn't because Chelsea had no answer to that back four, and yeah, Trippier is the epitome of it in terms of his leadership and being the captain, but they're all great. Like, Dan Burn is such a wise head all the way up there in the clouds, and the Botman hobbling off, and then Burn going into centre-back and Target coming on, you're not at all worried about that disrupting the flow of it, like we saw at the game at a canter, really. But yeah, that back four and Pope just look so comfortable in everything they do, and it's the calmness, and I referenced them dicking about at the back there, but actually we dicked about a lot in the game, and Chelsea couldn't get the ball off. Like, we were passing the ball around in our own box under a lot of pressure, but keeping it. And again, that's just stuff that we would never have done in years gone by. We would have been hoofing it out, giving them a throw in like deep in our half, and we avoid that at all costs, and we try and play it out because those four players and the keeper trust each other so much with a 3-yard pass with Jorginho or Kovacic up your arse, and they're still passing that ball rather than doing something stupid and kicking it away. So yeah, just that defence is the best thing I've ever seen.
It's just mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
The way that Trippier and Botman in particular are able to switch play effortlessly, that is something that 20 years ago only the best midfielders in the world were capable of doing. Now we've got two players, and Shaw's not bad at it, but and Burns good in the ball, but those two in particular,
yeah,
able to get the play from left to right. It Chelsea don't have an answer to that, and that's actually where the goal comes from. I think we'll open up the pitch with one of those crossfield balls. All of a sudden, Joe Linton has the ball in a load of space, and like I said, he uses the ball really quickly and smartly, almost score. And it was just really nice. And I really like your point, Si, that Chelsea just, I don't know what they're, apart from trying to get a 0-0 draw, maybe they were trying to keep it tight and then use the bench, but that obviously went out the window when we scored and they pushed forward a lot. But like you say, defensively, they're just, once again, if you watch shortened highlights on YouTube or on Sky Sports Football app or wherever you get your shortened 2-minute, 3-minute highlights from, there's that one Chelsea chance, but we're watching games and it's like Newcastle United 5 chances,
yeah,
the opposition 0 or 1. It's like, it's a kind of dominance that I'm very comfortable with it, but I'm still a bit unsure because it's just like...
But that is exactly how the game played out. Like Chelsea first half had 11 men, but every time we got the ball back, which was a lot, we had a lot of the ball, they had 11 men behind it. And it wasn't just, I think they were expecting, they'd probably come up against other teams, I don't know, like Bournemouth, Brentford, and do that and expect them to make a mistake and give the ball away. We just didn't do that. We don't make mistakes. Our passing's so accurate right now that a team that lets us have the ball is making a mistake by letting us have the ball, because we will find ways to pass it around and pass it through. And if we lose the ball, we're losing it in their half. And then we're so fit and strong, we get back in position. So whatever that tactic was of getting everyone behind the ball and kind of just waiting for us to fuck up, it was embarrassing for them because it didn't work at all. It was just waiting for us to score.
Chelsea yesterday reminded me of us, even under someone like Rafa Benitez, when we'd go to a very good team and kind of be satisfied with ourselves because we're in the game for a long time, and then look back at the game and think, oh, that was shit, wasn't it? Because yeah, Rafa Benitez and Newcastle had much scarcer resources to use than Graham Potter does at Chelsea. But yeah, it's just nice to be on the other end for a change.
It's nice to just be on, like, you know, we did an opposition view. I guested on a Chelsea podcast to listen to those people just being like, no, you're going to win. We are not going to win. And it's like, sorry, what? Like, you don't even think you... No, not Newcastle right now. No, I'm scared of going. I wish they could call the season now. I'm like, that is music to my ears, but also astonishing. You can probably hear the smile on my face. It's just amazing.
Let's move on to a player you wanted to talk about, Charlotte. You very keen to talk about Chris Wood, so take it away.
Yes, I am. I tweeted, I'll track back to like when the team sheet came out and you saw that Wilson was on the bench and Wood was starting. And, you know, your immediate thought is, oh, no.
It was mine.
Yeah. Like, it's not that I particularly dislike Chris Wood. It's just that until yesterday, I think this is your stat, Alex, which I'm going to steal from you. Until yesterday, we don't win games without Wilson in the side, right? We hadn't won a game without Wilson in the side. And even if you don't know that stat explicitly, you know that feeling. Wilson makes our side much better. He is just an excellent striker. It's why he's been called up for England. It's, you know, it's why we score goals when he's on the side. So I was a little bit like, oh no, they're saying he's still got this cold. I don't know if he's trying to protect himself for Qatar, because that's a massive thing for him in his career. But I tweeted, and probably unfair, someone was saying it in the pub that Chris Wood turns like the swing bridge, but I just thought it was so funny. And then yesterday, and I'd be really interested in your opinion, everybody else, but I thought he was really good. Okay, he doesn't create chances, but like for Chris Wood, it was just a much better performance. He charged at Mendy like a lot of times. He was a much more physical presence on the pitch. And Alex, we were talking about this in the car on the way here, and Alex said, I noticed him Like, that's a massive improvement for Chris Wood, because normally you don't really notice that he's on the pitch. No balls get to him. It's almost like our players don't believe that he's going to score a goal, so they don't bother. But he was much more present on the pitch yesterday. And I don't mean that in a patronising way or like the bar is really low. I thought he was good. And I also thought, and I will stop speaking in a second, that he's being trained to be meaner. Like, he looked meaner. He's clearly like a nice New Zealand man who just is like lovely. And you could see that he was much more reserved in his game when he first joined us. But yesterday he looked a bit meaner, and I'm sure that's Eddie Howe and his coaching staff.
Yeah, I actually agree. I thought he was very effective yesterday in not being Chris Wood, because Chris Wood, he's a traditional 4-4-2, cross it in, head it, get a goal. That's how he made his career. That's how he was scoring 10 plus goals a season for Burnley. That's what he was like at Leeds as well. He does not suit Eddie Howe's high intensity pressing, zero crosses in the box football. Like, we didn't cross it in once for him, even with Trippier playing, because I think you mentioned before the match, Dodgy, that it'd be interesting to see how that links. But there was no link between Trippier and Chris Wood.
I think that was Chelsea's back five.
Yeah, probably.
In the defensive. Probably. You're right, but I think that Chelsea just was so negative.
Yeah.
So crediting Chris Wood, he has to do a totally different job in this team that he's probably not that comfortable with. He's probably not that confident in, but he does it. He does what he's told. And interestingly about that is that even though we were the better team yesterday, we didn't have loads of chances. And I think back to players like Alexander Mitrovic, who, when told to lead the line and stay where he is, and it's very important that he keeps that position and keeps their defenders occupied, he would do silly things like come into his own half looking for the ball. Chris Wood doesn't do that. He holds his position, he presses, he does his job, and all of that is probably going a little bit undercredited for a lad who's having to come in when Wilson and Isak are both unavailable. So it's a testament to Eddie Howe that he can get that kind of commitment and input from Chris Wood, who knows that nobody really wants him here anymore. He probably feels like that a little bit, but he's gone from being a £25 million signing in January to third choice that we like before the game. People are groaning because they see his name on the team sheet in less than a year, and yet he still gives us everything. I think he deserves a bit of credit for that.
I totally agree. I felt bad for I'm glad his performance was good, but I felt bad for the tweet, even though it's just a bit of a joke. Like, I'm like, he's clearly really nice, and I don't want to be mean to him. And you're right, like, he is giving it all. He could throw a hissy fit. He could do a Dubravka and demand a, like, you know, just say I'm sitting on the bench, or I'd rather sit on the bench in another club, or like, you know, he could, but he doesn't. And I think again that like ties back to this whole team mentality, doesn't it? It's like, we've all got buy-in. It doesn't matter what the crowd thinks. They'll get behind you. Like, you just have to trust that everybody here is bought into the project. And he is. And I really like that. And I really respect it.
Pure coaching, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is what we saw yesterday, is just session after session after session with Eddie Howe, Jason Tindall, and the rest of the coaching staff. And it's, again, another very promising sign that Chris Wood could come in yesterday and contribute positively to the side, like you say, side without Newcastle necessarily playing to his strengths, and that the goals will come if he plays like that, if he can be such a presence, and if he can press and run and sprint like he was yesterday against lesser sides. When he plays, goals will come from where it hasn't looked like that previously. From, he just hasn't looked like being a goal threat. I think he will be, because one of the most joyous things I think about yesterday and the way Newcastle play, all those moments when teams, they know they've got Newcastle, so what is Graham Potter working on with Chelsea? We're going to play through their press. Sounds good, sounds nice, doesn't work. And when they pass, you know, there's probably nothing more humiliating for a footballer, passing the ball out of play because he's got nowhere else to go. Yeah. First half in particular, and also kind of, it's kind of the start of each half when we're most potent at it. Chelsea just couldn't. They couldn't do it. It was hard. You know, you're always going to get one or two where you get through it, and Newcastle still managed to deal with that. But Chris Wood was a really big part of Chelsea not being able to get through our press. And, you know, fair play to him. You know, I've been critical of him. He played his part yesterday. Yeah. And come back in one piece, Callum. We beg of you.
Oh, God. Yes. Oh, God. But Isak will be fit.
Isak will be fit, true.
Isak will be fit by then. And that's like, you know, that'll be interesting too, because he's not a Callum Wilson like for like. So that'll change our game. So maybe that'll be... I'm looking for positives. Wilson will come back fit, it's fine.
Yeah, as I say, he's not injured yet. Eddie Howe has Newcastle United in third place. Let's just kind of spend these last moments on this pod talking about just what an absolutely remarkable job the man has done, the football club, the owners, the players, the staff, fans. It is truly extraordinary what's happened. I don't know who wants to take it away. Kyle, I haven't heard from you a little while, mate. Just tell me how you feel when you hear the name Eddie Howe.
It's just amazing how well of a job he's done. Like I says at the top of the podcast, like, we hadn't won a game this time last year. It's like, people will use the, oh, you've got the Saudi money card, but you look at the players that were there before Eddie Howe took over and how he's got such good out of a lot of them. Like, Miggy Almiron, if you'd have said at the start of the season he'd score 8 goals for the season, then you'd be saying, you know what, that's a good season for Miggy. He's improving on his game and stuff like that. Fabian Scher, he's been an amazing part of the team. Starting most games since Howe took over. Looks a man re-galvanised by Eddie Howe. He was on his way out under Bruce. Bruce didn't know
how to
use
him. On a free?
On a free as well. Like, it's absolutely mental. Like, Joe Linton, like, missed out on the Brazilian squad just. If you'd have said that this time last year, you would have been like, Joe Linton, Brazilian squad, no. But, like, just what he's managed to, even the likes of Sean Longstaff and people like that, like every player that was a part of the Steve Bruce team that is a part of the Eddie Howe team now have all massively upped their game. And it's like, that's down to him and it's down to Howe and it's down to the coaching team that's managed to happen. He's managed to unite a fan base that was divided before the takeover and under Steve Bruce. He's managed to unite a dressing room that's totally behind him. Like, you look at the last couple of minutes of that game yesterday, the referee tried to add on 700 minutes of added time, like the 10-2 against when we play a big six side. And they just fought for every ball, every second added time. It was very reminiscent of the famous clip that always goes around from Leicester away of the players constantly trying to get the tackle in. And It was very like that because they just wanted the 3 points so bad. And it's just like, to unite a city, a team and a club that well in such a short space of time. Like, Graham Potter, Chelsea's shown how hard that is to actually, like, go into a club and try and, like, implement your philosophy on a team so quickly. But Eddie Howe's managed to do that. And, like, I think Newcastle fans would have been happy with top 10, top 8. This season. But like, we're third in the table and like, we're talking about Champions League, we're talking about being in a title race. Like, when Newcastle were going to win the league is a chant now, it's a thing. Like, I thought that was just exclusive to the Championship, but Eddie Howe's made Wall hope again, and it's just like, what a phenomenal manager. Like, people, I remember the clips going around when we were about to appointment, people laughing, oh, do you not want a bigger name than Eddie Howe? Perfect appointment. Couldn't have got a better appointment if we tried. Unbelievable manager.
It was, you know, even he was like, oh, they want Emery. Like, it won't be me. I think he said that, like, oh, that dream's over. I'm so glad Unai Emery got cold feet. Like, and now he's a Villa. Oh, I'm so happy. Eddie Howe's just class, isn't he?
The last game I went to before Eddie Howe was manager was Chelsea at home, where bloody Graham
Jones
was manager. Now, he's still part of the coaching staff, and I'm sure he's doing a very good job now that he's got a proper manager helping him. But the difference of that, five at the back, not leaving our own half, waiting for Chelsea to score, and then just letting them score two more times, and then coming off the pitch, patting the players in the back saying, well done.
Yeah.
Like, just
game plan works. That's what he said after that game. He was like, well, game plan was perfect.
We lost.
Just that for me, the monumental shift to where we are now. I mean, it's just, it has been gradual. You know, we took some hammerings under Eddie Howe early doors. I mean, I think back to December last year, we got beat 4-0 to Man City, and whilst that probably flattered them a bit, there was a lot of work to be done at that point. And the fact that you could say that you can see the improvement that's taken place over the year absolutely epitomised last night with a win over Chelsea that we absolutely deserved, off the back of beating Spurs that we absolutely deserved, off the back of smashing Villa, smashing Southampton, you know, all of that has been coming for a long time. You know, we were grinding out wins towards the end of last season because that's what was necessary. Now we're just beating people at football, and it's all down to that man and what he's done with the existing players. He's obviously had a hand in the transfer policy. Everyone who's come in is the right character, the right kind of player. I don't think we've bought ourselves to third. We've managed ourselves to third, and it's Eddie Howe.
Well, Newcastle still won't have a top seven wage budget. The squad is probably, I think it's the seventh. Highest in the league. You know, so we are overperforming, and I think the point I'd like to make is we still don't know what the ceiling of this team is yet, because every single challenge that's been put in front of them, they've absolutely smashed out of the way. Now, at the start of the season, Karen, please, you brought it up because, you know, we did a live show. We obviously did lots of podcasts like this, but we did a live show at the Stand, and there was over 200 people there, and myself and Charlotte and some of the Northeast's football journalists, we sat there and we talked about expectations for the season. And I was pretty, you know, confident. I thought we'd be in the conversation for a Champions League place. Didn't think we'd necessarily get it because there's so much you have to rely on injuries and form and that kind of stuff. But I thought we'd be in the conversation. And I don't think there were that many people shared that opinion. Maybe there was some. I was wrong. Do you know what I mean? I thought we'd be in the conversation. We're going to finish. In my opinion, we are better than all of the teams below us in this league by some distance at the minute. They might get better. We might drop off. Who knows? But I don't think so. One of the most promising things about the whole thing, it's not just the fact we're going to spend in January. It's not just the fact we're third in the league and we've had some pretty rotten injury and VAR luck this season. It's also the fact, like Charlotte correctly said earlier, that our weaknesses, and weaknesses being Jacob Murphy, Chris Wood, Sean Longstaff at the start of the season, people looking at the new contract, they're all strengths. That's a remarkable thing for how to do. It's not just buy the right players and characters. It's not just knit them into a cohesive, excellent football team. It's the players who people thought would let us down are the opposite. The fact that Jacob Murphy comes on yesterday ahead of Alan St-Maximin, the fact that Sean Longstaff's one of the first names in the team sheet, the fact that Chris Wood can come in and be a different footballer to this time last year, that makes me think, can we win this league? And I know people, we've mentioned this on podcasts previously, people, there's this kind of like Newcastle fan thing clicks into gear and people are like, don't be daft. Newcastle's form is currently title winning form. Man City are fragile. They won a game in the 95th minute last week. They got beat at home yesterday. We ain't losing at home to Brentford. I'm telling you, we are not losing at home to a team like Brentford at the minute with the form.
We beat them 5-1. That's 5-1. Like 4 weeks ago.
We're a little way behind them and you know, Arsenal look very good as well. But I'll say it again. I'm more confident we'd finish top than we'd finish seventh. And that is as much to do with how getting a tune out of the lesser likes in the squad and continuing to improve those footballers, not just concentrating on the class lads, than it is money or anything like that.
100%. I agree with that. I think this World Cup break just changes the kind of... If we kept playing up to Christmas, I think we'd be top of the league at Christmas. If we just had the normal run of fixtures into December, we'd be top because nothing is stopping this train at the moment. It's all a bit unknown what comes after the World Cup, where we'll be, or will we have dropped off? Because one thing that has taken a little bit of time, you could argue that it took us till the middle of September to really get this full Eddie Howe pressing game going, because match fitness is one thing. Like, it's really difficult to maintain match fitness when you're not playing competitive football, because it is different. So I think the drop-off in competitive football for some of the lads will be a challenge. And as you've said already, we overcome challenges. Eddie Howe answers questions, so there's no reason that can't continue, but it's a bit more of an unknown. I'd be far more confident of a title challenge if there wasn't this stupid fucking World Cup.
We've got, I mean, that's why that friendly's been plonked in there as well, isn't it? We haven't said that word in ages.
Plonked.
It's plonked.
Love it.
I didn't like it. But we've also now got another cup fixture, so that kind of warms people up, I think, as well, going into the Leicester fixture on Boxing Day. So I feel a bit more confident having that put into our roster, then I don't know what's going on with my words today.
plonked into the roster.
I need to stop speaking.
No, you don't, because I'm going to come to you again, Charlotte, because one of the things I think you really like about this side is there are a bunch of
hard bastards.
Nasty, hard, skillful, fast bastards. As Mick Martin would say.
Yes, I do. And that's kind of what we're talking about with Chris Wood. He's getting meaner. It doesn't mean that he's like, he goes to Greg's and he's like rude to the staff. He's just, he's like, I mean that he's like, I don't know what's happened. My coffee's kicked in. I just mean that he's, you know, harder on the pitch. He looks more frightening. Chelsea were frightened yesterday, and they were frightened of the whole squad. And no one more than Kai Havertz, who's picked a little fight with Dan Byrne. Well, it's a legacy fight, isn't it? Because he tried to decapitate Dan Byrne last season with his elbow. And it doesn't look like Dan Byrne's forgotten, even though he had a head injury. He has remembered. He's retained that memory. and yeah, right at the end, they obviously, Chelsea just totally lost their heads. Like, just, we were winning. We were in the, I think, as Kyle said, the 126th minute of the game. They just couldn't cope. And they just, yeah, they just had this scrap. But what I love very much was, like, Dan Byrne and Havertz having this scrap. Murphy comes shooting over. They're all just, Joe Linton's like barging one of the Chelsea like coaches. It's just amazing. And that even though it's not like that's not the football, and I don't want to like to glorify like fighting or anything like that, but that's the mentality. It's like it's a whole team, like hard, like a bit nasty. This is a difficult place to come, and it's not just a difficult place to come because Newcastle are class and the fans are class, because we're also like not afraid of a fight.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? And that's the one of the main comparisons between this side and maybe the fixture last year side against the same opposition, or even the fixture the year before that during lockdown, when Lampard's Chelsea came. And both games, Chelsea just didn't have to run, didn't have to try. Newcastle were completely compliant, roll over and die. Now, if you want to come and take points from James's Park, you're probably going to have to bleed for it. Like, yeah, you're probably going to have to break something for it. Like, someone's going to have to take one from, like, Bruno's tackle yesterday. Wow. You know, right at the end of the game, when he kind of leaps off the floor to try and kick them and stop them. It's just, we are a nasty, horrible, horrible team. Teams must absolutely hate playing against us.
Kyle mentioned it earlier, but I just like the idea that Lascelles is sitting there in the dugout. He knows he's not coming on the pitch. He's like, Jason, what can I do? And he's like, go and give Cucurella a bit of grief down the touchline. He's taking a throw and just go and get in his ear. And he's like, go and get a yellow card for the team. And Lascelles is like, I go on. And then he just, just even little things like that. Like, the lads are warming up and griefing Chelsea players from the sidelines.
We couldn't make another sub, could we? Yeah. So they weren't really warming up. It was just
there to be dicks, which is class.
I love it.
Brilliant. We'll end it there. This has been the True Faith Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate it. We're going to keep going, of course, with the free podcast throughout the World Cup, continuing to bring in Newcastle United content. We'll also keep going on our Patreon platform, so you don't have to lose your Newcastle United fix. Come and join us. £3, £3, £5, and £8 a month on there, and you keep this podcast free, and you also get it without ads. Thanks so much to you three. Thanks to everyone for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.